I want you to turn to Psalms 96 in your Bible. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not sure what's fixing to happen, but I do know that we're going to discuss some things. Matter of fact, one word that the Lord's been stirring in my heart for a while. I have a story about it, but I'm not going to tell you it because it's about me. And the Lord really dealt with me. And if he deals with me, then I need to deliver it to you because he's going to be dealing with you about it. And it's one word, listen to me, called judgment. And the church doesn't talk about judgment very much. But it's a big thing in the kingdom of God, judgment. Now, some people believe that God's still judging people right now. And I just need to tell you that biblically, I don't see that. Now, in the Old Testament, there's some judgment that was going on. And this morning, we need to figure out who the judge is. In Psalms chapter 96, I want us to all read verses 12 and 13. And that's why I want you to have a Bible, because you need to really understand the Word of God. And I would want you to understand that being a Christian, we have a manual. And I don't think it's real good for a lot of people to just follow the instructions of the preacher without digging into the Word of God yourself. Now listen, I've seen a lot of marriages in the ministry ruined, which is amazing. Men and women called of God that I've seen attacked because they assumed their ministry or their church was God. And I'm here to tell you, it is not. Because a relationship with God is personal. And then what we do for Him is just what we do for Him. And so a lot of times they'll forget about their wife and family because they want to spend all their time doing the ministry when, you know, God called them to have a relationship with Him first, and then the second in order, if you're married, is your spouse, your wife or husband. And then after that is your kids. And how many of you know we kind of get those mixed up where the kids tend to be before some of our spouses? And so there's an order that God has established in His kingdom that we need to follow as Christians. And just understand, if you want to have a healthy marriage, then make sure the one you're married to, if you're a husband, then your wife is number two behind God. And your husband is number two behind God, and so on. And so I think that's very important, because that will save a lot of marriages. And then the kids, you have to tend to them after that. Because if you have a broken mom and dad, then the kids are going to suffer. Would you say amen to that? Amen. So look at verse 12 and 13 of Psalms 96. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And let's read it all together. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. Now this is talking about the Lord. Would y'all agree with that? That He is the one that comes to judge the earth and the people with His truth. Everybody, Look at me. Let's say it all together. God came to judge the earth and the people. Okay, let's establish that right now. Because we need to understand judgment. And so let me tell you what the word, after studying, says about judgment, because it's a Hebrew term, especially in the Old Testament, because we're going to talk about Old Testament, then we're going to talk about the New Testament for just a minute concerning judgment. Because it's a Hebrew term in the Old Testament that denotes the process whereby a verdict is reached. The judge that is a member of this church and that plays the keyboard, if you get a speeding ticket, you probably will see her or hear of her or see the name written on something if you're in the county that she's in. So judgment denotes that she understands a verdict, that a verdict is reached, or it's a notion of justice. So we need to establish something this morning, that God is the one that engages in judgment. I think we need to be clear that judgment is of great importance for biblical understanding. Sometimes God's judgments Sometimes God's judgments are in the present. And sometimes God's judgments come on ourselves through sowing and reaping. Now, this is talking about Old Testament too, for just a minute. The judgment is here, but that doesn't mean God's going around and judging individuals right now. And we'll explain that here in just a moment. A lot of times, we need to understand that when you're talking about judgment, you and I already know right from wrong. Would you agree with that? Now, I know that the devil tries to pervert that, confuse us in those areas. But really, if you think about it, you should know what is right and what is wrong. You should know what is righteous or doing what is right and what is sin. Now, I think the problem is we start justifying why we would do something possibly wrong. I mean, there's so many examples. You know, I could step on toes in every area, including mine. You've got taxes. Ugh. Terrible. But yet, the Bible says, render to Caesar's. What is Caesar's? You know, and I understand taxes. It helps cause, you know, the government to run and so on. I think that's why majority of people, at least in the South, we don't want the government to run a lot of things that would cause more taxes to be taken from you and I. It would be better if we ran things. Because usually when you put your hands to the ranch, or you put your hands to the business, you're going to run it so that you can make a profit. But if you're controlled by something, then that's why most of us, we want less government. And we want more rights for the people to, you know, be able to handle our affairs. Would you agree with that? Because I think the government, and it's... someone wanted to clap there. You want to clap? Yeah. Amen! You know. Because I think we've seen over times that the government, when it runs a lot of things, doesn't do a very good job. And I think we ought to be taught that, you know, we should be good stewards of our finances. And then if we do something wrong, it's our fault, you know. Okay, so what we're doing here is we're trying to establish who is the judge. Okay? So here in Psalms 96, it tells us something important about God, that all people will answer to him. Would you agree with that? I mean, you're not going to be answering to Pastor Corey in Cowboy Church. Now, I know it gets confusing for some people because they just assume that you know, they, and some religions are, teach this, that, you know, they're the ones that you look to. Well, how many of us raised Catholic in here? Well, so you understand that you would go to the priest. And I always found that interesting because in the Old Testament days, they would, before you would go, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies to take your sin. In case he had sin, that rope was tied to his leg so that if he had any sin, the glory of the Lord, man, kill him dead. And they'd pull that guy out. Well, I want y'all to know that I would rather trust in a God that sent his only begotten Son, that now can go boldly, that, you know, causes us now to go boldly to the throne of God, so that I can say, Father, I messed up, and who now is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But again, I don't want to count on anybody, but there are a lot of churches, and if you want to call them faiths, religions that teach different things. But I want to establish this morning who actually is the judge. That according to this word, now in the Old Testament, God is the judge. So let's transition over into the New Testament. Because when you study out in the New Testament, judgment now is connected to the cross of Jesus. And you can't forget about that. Flip over in John chapter 12, because again, we're going to establish this morning, and it'll get real interesting here in just a minute, who actually is the judge. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince, it's talking about Satan here, the prince of this world be cast out. So there's judgment right there. Because of what Jesus did, now that there's a devil, we don't have to, you know, submit to the law of the Old Testament. You and I now are submitted to grace under the Lord, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, and so on. And it was all because of what Jesus did for us. Now, it doesn't mean that God is not the judge anymore. He's just the judge through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only judgment that's going to take place from when Jesus was crucified until now is if you are born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life. Because the true judgment is not going to be you're judged and condemned over the bad things you've done in your past. The true judgment, when you stand before God Almighty, is Him declaring one of two things. Either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Obviously, I want Him to say, well done. Come on into heaven, Corey. And the reason that I know He'll say that is because in 1979, on May the 10th, in Otis, New Mexico, at Otis Baptist Church, I walked down the aisle scared and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Come on. So I know, regardless of what I did in college or what I did back when, I know that my spirit man is born again. But I'm here to tell you, there's some friends that still remember what I did back when. And it's real easy then for them to become the judge of me based on what I did back when. Now, I'm not talking about not judging the fruits of people. I mean, we can do that because we're not judging them specifically, but I understand that we can judge, you know, the fruit of those people. But I think too often that it goes over into judging them individually, and we need to establish who actually is the judge. Would you agree? Because if we establish this, who actually is the judge, then, man, it's going to help a lot of things in our life. Matter of fact, if we had Judge Stout come up here, it would kind of be silly for us not to know that actually she is the judge and not the people that work under her. Now, she may give them authority to do some things in her office and what she does as the judge of Williamson County or whatever, or what is your official title? Williamson County? I wish she was the judge of the state of Texas. It would help out in some things. But it'd kind of be silly if we didn't really know that what she said about Corey Ross going 95 in a 35. I mean, I want to know, what do you say about that? Because what she says is final. Would y'all agree with that? And it's not going to be good for old Corey Ross, 95 and a 35, right? I mean, we're in trouble. There's going to be some punishment. But I would bring you some cookies. Would that help? Probably not. Could I buy you a new car? Or it was bribery. Oh. Okay, so things aren't going good for old Corey Ross right now, because the judge, when she said it, it so be. Okay, here we're establishing that even in the New Testament, now there's still judgment, but it's only judging Satan and his works that they're going to get cast out. There's judgment that says, because of Jesus living on the inside of you, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And you're not sitting under the judgment of the law of the Old Testament when you do something wrong. I mean, a lot of times in the Old Testament, man, when you sinned, you died. And you had to serve God. It just was the law. You had, and when you served him, you had to do certain things because it was lawful. Now with Jesus, I don't have to do anything. I get to do everything. It's an honor to serve him. Because see, he don't call all of us to preach behind that podium, but he calls all of us to do something in the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful that he called me to be the pastor of this church, because he could have called someone else. Matter of fact, when we started this church 16 years ago, the first thing I asked when we were looking for a home to buy in this area, and I knew the Lord wanted us to start something, just didn't know where, just being led by his Spirit. And the first thing I asked when I moved here, is there a Cowboy church here? Where there was 2 years prior, that for some reason it is no longer. Well, how many of you know what God starts, he's going to finish? So if whoever he chose to start it before me didn't finish, then he'll bring someone in to finish what he started. And that's the same with your life. If he tells you to do something, then I would just give you some advice. Do it. Because if you don't do it, he's going to bring someone else in to do what he told you to do. And I'm not talking things big. I'm talking all things. What if he told you to go and just speak a edifying and encouraging word to someone, and you didn't do it? Well, obviously, you're in disobedience. But he's going to not stop there. He's going to go to the next person that he can say, hey, no, she's the one that she'll do it. She'll do it. So he is led to leading someone else to know I need someone to go to that family and edify and exhort them, because he's going to have someone do it, you see. Okay, so when we start talking about judgment, it's only talking in the New Testament days about Satan already knows what's going to happen to him at the end. That's why he's attacking good, godly people all over this earth. Because Satan knows that his time is running out. But here's something that you should know. As a believer in Jesus Christ, because judgment now is based on the cross and what Jesus did for you and I, that he redeemed us from the curse and all the things I've already talked about, that sin has no power and dominion over you and me, that we're under grace and mercy and those kind of things, you need to understand the power that you have residing on the inside of you because of judgment and because of what Jesus actually did for you and I. Again, what are we establishing this morning? Who is the judge? And I'm here to tell you that God is the ultimate judge, and he alone. In the New Testament, as Jesus spoke of the coming of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, he said that the Spirit would convict the world of judgment because, we read in John, but turn over real fast to John chapter 16, just to your right. We were just in John 12. Look now in John 16, because again, Jesus spoke this, it's in red, start in verse 10, of righteousness. Start in verse 9. Of sin because they believe, this is John 16. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, there's that word judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So judgment is going to be because of what Satan's trying to do to you and I. And he's already judged. It's already, the judgment is already final, that man, you and I, because of Jesus, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. At that name, every demon must flee. We have the right. We have the access because of the name of Jesus, the one that lives on the inside of us, the one that's the Lord of our life, the one that now has already given us the keys to the kingdom. We now are not judged like the days of the Old Testament. God now is causing the judgment to come on sin and the world's ways of doing things, not on believers of Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm trying to say this morning. Just because you might sin does not mean that judgment is going to come down on you, or God is going to humble you, or God's going to try to put you into a big wreck so that you can finally stop looking at you and you look up to him. He's not doing that, and that's not the God we serve. A lot of people think that God's judgment is now on the people today, but it's not. It's on what Jesus did, and it's on what Satan now is going to, what's going to happen to him in these end times. And he's fixing to get it, y'all. But here's the thing you need to understand. You can go ahead and make Satan get under your feet now. You don't have to wait till we all go to heaven. You have the authority and the power to say, Satan, get thee behind me. You have the right and authority to say, Satan, you're not going to control me any longer. You're not, even though he can still put thoughts in our mind, he's not going to control us because we have the mind of Christ. So if we establish John 16:11, that the prince of this world now stands condemned, literally is judged, here's what defeats Satan: righteousness. Believers are going to be saved by Christ, but their work will be judged on judgment day. You're going to be, listen to me. Judgment is going to come when we stand, God, when we're standing before the Lord, right? Judgment is going to be, are you born again or are you not? But we're also, not in a negative way, going to be judged on what we do here. That's why that there's some great things that God's going to bless you with because of your obedience here. So don't get confused that God's just out to get you. That you constantly have to be under the curse. Listen to me. The curse is still here. Help me, Lord. The curse is still here. But you and I have been redeemed from the curse because of the cross. Okay? So you don't have to be submitted to wrong things that you've done in your life. Okay? Judgment is not coming on you because you did something wrong. Now listen, don't get me wrong, because what you sow, you're going to reap. But that's you. That's you. That's not God trying to condemn you. It's no, you did something wrong and there's a penalty to pay. I mean, if you go out and murder someone, there's justice. And a judge is going to say, not God, the judge. He's already established his governing ways of doing things. He's already established right from wrong. No, but another judge might say, yep, in jail for life. Okay? That's judgment. But I want you to understand that God has already been the judge. He's already done everything he's going to do. He sent his son. Would you agree with that? He sent Jesus so that you would have life and more abundant life. So judgment is from God. Okay, here's where we're going now. I want to see everyone's hand too. And if you do not agree, I want you to be bold enough to say, I disagree. Who is the judge? Would everybody in this room and that is watching live right now, would we all agree that God is the judge? Let me see your hand if you agree with that. Now, boldly, if you disagree that God is the judge and you think someone else is the judge, totally, I'm not talking about there's judges that are in different offices. I'm talking about the ultimate judge is God Almighty. Who disagrees with that? Is there anybody? Well, there shouldn't be, because God is the judge. Okay, so I want to ask you a question. If God is the judge, why in the world would we be judging people? Is anybody out there? Did y'all all leave? If God's the judge, why would we be judging people? I was talking with my brother-in-law yesterday, and I said, you know, there's some people that drink. I'm pretty sure that's their business. Would you agree with that? Why in the world would I judge that? There's people that, man, they cuss like sailors. I don't like it. Don't want to be around it. I'm not the judge, though. Do you know how many people come and try to change their ways when they're just around me? You know what that makes me? The judge. And I always tell them, I don't care if you cuss. I ask them, you go out with us. I don't care. They drink. I do not care. You know why? Because I'm constantly reminded that I am not the judge. And man, I'm telling you, God has been dealing with me. Because if it he's dealing with me, then he's got to be dealing with a lot of people that are so easily judgmental. And I don't know about you, but we need to calm down. We need to calm down and stop being quite so judgmental. And listen to me, when I preach to me, then I'm preaching to you too. But I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. There's a time when we need to establish we are not the judge. Now again, I'm not going to hang around someone that is just no good, that is not an edifier or someone that builds you up. No, I want to hang around good people. But even if they did something wrong, if I'm not the judge, then I'm not going to hold them guilty of anything. But I'm here to tell you, the only thing that we need to continue to preach is we need to continue to preach righteousness and holiness. Because if we are born again people, then we're set apart. But we should not ever go into the area of judgment. Because we've established this morning that you and I are not the judge. Amen. You and I are not the judge. So we've got to start calming down and allowing people to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit and not us trying to fix everybody. Because I'm here to tell you, some preachers can get right in the middle of trying to fix everyone. Well, why don't we allow the Holy Spirit, who would do a lot better job than Corey Ross? You should clap there. Because the Spirit of God can do a whole lot more and better perfection than me. No, all I'm here to do is to preach this word. Now listen to me. Don't you dare think that this is a permission to sin. As I'm telling you, the wages of it is death. Because righteousness is so important in the kingdom of God. Holiness. Doing what's right. But I am not the judge. And you are not the judge. And we've got to allow people to grow in the kingdom. Now, if they come to us, then and they're saying, hey, I need help, then biblically we can show some things that maybe they're not doing right in the kingdom and in their lives. I mean, you got to be a good friend. And there's a time when you have to make a stand. There's a time when you say, hey, that's going to hurt you. That's not good for you, bud. But you can't do it with the attitude of judgment because you're not the judge, you see. You see, if we understand this, we're going to start having more people come to us instead of running away from us. I know ministers in the cowboy world that when they start coming, even I hide. Like, oh, duck. Because I'm talking they've gone a little bit too far in your face because they want to try to fix you instead of just loving on you. But man, there's a time when, man, you know what they need? They need that. I mean, honestly, all they need is, come here, girl. Man, God loves you. See, that's what they need. And then, yeah. I mean, don't need to be talked to. That's us husbands. No, they just need some affirmation. Hey. Come on, bud. You're a winner. You're not a loser. Come on, man. I mean, you're a winner. You're what a winner. Don't even know you. But I know your wife. He's gone. You see, instead of us having this attitude of yeah, she'll bring up a lot of stuff about me, but so I might need to go on. Why don't we just go, you know what? Jesus loves you. Amen. Yeah, we might know what they did to us. We might know that they've talked about us. They badmouth our church. They badmouth the ministers. We might even know that they've said a lot of negative things, rumored. It's amazed the things that I've heard about me and my wife. I'm amazed that this church bought all my horses. I didn't even know it. And my house. That was in the early years. I remember that. You may know that someone's hurt you, but I'm here to tell you, if you walk in righteousness and not judgment, oh man, you'll get set free. See, we'll start operating in the kingdom of God with seeing people come to Jesus so fast, and they'll get set free, delivered, and healed of all the junk that's going in our life if they're not saved, or if they are saved. If they're not saved, they'll give their lives to Jesus. Just because we're not ones that just are condemning. I'm just looking for bad in you. Because listen to me, that is not our job.
Amen.
We're just supposed to. Now, if someone's saying, man, my life is, it's just falling apart, I need some help, well, then we need to tell the truth. But not in a judgmental way. We need to just say, hey, that's why Jesus died, sister, brother. That's why Jesus died for us. So the question again this morning is, if God is the judge, then why are we trying to judge people? So let's calm down. Let's calm down. I know she ain't acting right. I know he ain't acting the perfect way. But why don't we get on our knees and start praying? Say, God, intervene, man. Now, God may say, hey, you need to go show her some word. But I'm here to tell you, it'll be just to deliver or him and set them free, and not because we're trying to push the Bible on them and push them down. So again, who's the judge? So I declare, and I repent. If I've walked in that way of judging people, you remember when the Bible, and I'll close right here, you remember when the Bible says to work out your own salvation? That's what I constantly do. I'm constantly looking as I travel, even, because I see a lot of things. And I made a statement the other day, and when I made it, I was like, hop, because I was looking at them and some things that they were doing, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I am not the judge here. But you know what I'm going to do? Let's flip this thing and end it. I'm going to continue to live the way I live. And I'm not ashamed of that. And you know how I live? I want to be pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be pleasing to man. Now, I want to get along. That's a smart thing to do. Amen? Get along. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to be all things to all men. What he meant by that is just get along. I mean, yeah, if the Baptists, if they believe this way and the Pentecostals believe that way, as long as they believe in Jesus, who cares? Who cares if there's not a lot of amens in their church? I'm just fired up. I'd like for you to talk back to me. I like a few amens. That's right, brother. I mean, it adds agreement. I just like a lively church, because I know that I don't have to die and go to hell. I get to go to a place called heaven. when I leave this earth. But listen to me. I can have heaven here. So this morning, let's establish that God is the judge, a different judgment in the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, he's judging because of the Lord Jesus and the cross, so that you and I now are not judged. We're not condemned. We're not guilty. No, we've been redeemed from all that because of Jesus Christ. So if we are not condemned and we are not guilty, we are saved by grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption and all the great things and the benefits that Jesus actually died for. So now you and I don't have to be the judges of people any longer. Amen. We don't have to. It's too much. It's too much. Let's let God be the judge. Because I'm pretty sure that when you get to heaven and you stand before God Almighty, He will not bring up all of your past sins. You need to understand that. You know why? Because Jesus died for it. Oh, glory. I mean, that'll make an Episcopalian shout. I mean, that'll make a Baptist speak in tongues. Come on, get excited, y'all. Jesus died for you so you don't have to be guilty any longer. But if you're doing things wrong, let the Spirit of God, let the Holy Ghost start ministering to you. Amen? Don't reject that. Let Him try to get some of these things that have tormented you in some areas. Let Him get rid of them. Amen? And it's all because of Jesus. So, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is He your Savior? All right, everybody in here, bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Be my friend. Thank you for dying just for me. I'll serve you all my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you notice that everybody prayed it, which means they're not getting saved again. They were just praying with you that may have prayed it for the very first time. If Jesus just became the Lord of your life and you prayed and asked Jesus to come in this morning for the first time, if you're in this crowd or you're watching, I want you to know that Jesus is now your Lord. You are not judged anymore. Now, Satan and his works and all that junk, man, there's judgment on that. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire soon. But because of Jesus, man, we don't have to let sin dominate you and I anymore. No, let righteousness dominate you. But if you just gave your life to Jesus, you're now my brother or sister in Christ. So here's what I want to do. If there's anybody in here that just prayed that prayer and you never had prayed and asked Jesus to come be the Lord of your life, in other words, if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to hell. If you just prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life, you will bust heaven wide open. That's the place you're going to go, heaven, and not hell. But listen to me. Don't ever be ashamed of it. Don't ever be ashamed to let people know that Jesus is the Lord of your life. So if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Him, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand. I didn't say come to the front. I didn't say stand up. Right where you're at, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you're not ashamed, then when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. You're saying when you raise it up, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Thank you for saving me. And again, just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Ready? One, that's you, get that hand up. 2, 3, go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Amen. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Thank you. We'll have someone give you, no one looking around. Amen. Well, look at me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God there's one. Might be a bunch more watching. I don't know. I tell you, when something stirs in my heart, it's for all of us. Amen. And so, be who you are. Be who you are. And if you're a Christian, we're going to teach you how to be according to the Bible. Amen? But be who you are. I tell those cowboys, hey, you come around me, don't change. I mean, I appreciate it when they respect me enough to, you know, to kind of honor who I am, what I believe in. I mean, it's just respect for people. I mean, that's how we all should be. But I don't want them changing unless it's a change that will last. Amen? So, did y'all have a good time this morning? All right, so tonight at 5 o'clock, do we come before that, like to fellowship? Like at 4:30? Some cookies and things? Come a little early, because at 5 o'clock, we're going to have our Christmas concert. I want all of you to come invite people. I want this place packed out. We put it on the board. Jamie, like I said, they're coming just so they can get here for the Christmas concert. The little kids are going to sing right at 5 o'clock, so don't miss that. And then as soon as they're done singing, our band is going to do a concert. I'm going to tell you about the Christmas story, and it's going to be a blast. So please make sure you're here at 5 o'clock. We should be done by 6. You should be in bed by 6:30. Thank you, Lord. I've been watching the final. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. I want you to also know that Tuesday is our Bible study. It's going to be good for me to be back. I just missed 1 week. Our 40 and under. If you're 40 and under, me and Jamie are teaching that Bible study. If you're 41 and over, then... And I give exemptions. I mean, if you're real close and you want to come in there, that's fine. But, man, we have from high school all the way up to 40s. A few that are a little older just because they want to be in there with their wife that's 30 years younger. And so, why? What are you doing? Are you saying something? I didn't know it. They don't tell me nothing. I'm just the pastor. What you going to say? This mic on, Mike?
Hi, I'm Mike McClellan.
Hang on. It's almost on. He's getting it. He's checking it out. Stand by. All right, you're on.
I'm on?
You're on.
I'm on now.
Just talk.
Okay.
Trust it.
I'll have to trust it. Thank you. I have a message from Senator Cornyn to Williamson County Cowboy Church. I have two announcements. I had dinner with him on Friday.
Can you all hear him?
Can you all hear?
Come on, Mike.
Can you all
turn
hear
him up.
Okay, I think I need to hold it closer. He wanted me to send a message. I told him that there are folks in our church who are concerned about what's going on in the House of Representatives. He said, do not worry. He has a message for you that there will be a trial in the Senate. The truth will come out. President Trump will not only be acquitted, he'll be exonerated.
Yeah, so that's right.
Be encouraged by that, and he wanted me to share that today. Secondly, we are doing a program for Christian engagement in the political process here the first Tuesday in January, January 7th. We have many folks who are going to be coming and sharing a message, including one of the top judges in Texas. They're going to actually be here. And so it's going to be a great program, and I really encourage you to come to that. Thank you.
Amen. When is that?
January 7th.
January 7th. Okay. Amen. I like being around judges. Right? Amen. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Amen. All right. Don't forget our rodeo. We've been having rodeo meetings. Rodeo coming in April. It takes a while. Our Christmas, oh, by the way, yes, thank you for telling me. We're for the first time having a Christmas Eve service here. So we're getting a lot of calls about our Christmas Eve service and emails. A lot of people want us. So at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, we're going to have just a short service, Matter of fact, I'm the music. I'm going to pull out some of my old tracks because Ricky and them are already planned on being in Midland or wherever. I'm going to pull out the old tracks. It's going to be fun. Amen. I'm going to have to remember all those songs, but we're going to have fun. Amen. Thank y'all for coming this morning. Love you very much. Father, thank you, Lord, that as we always say, you don't stay here right now because the Bible says you don't leave us. You don't forsake us. So you're fixing to get to go with us. And Father, thank you for what Jesus did, that we don't have to be the judge. We don't have to judge people and condemn them for what they do. No, I think we are to, you know, pull the plank out of our own eye and not trying to pull the plank out of someone else's eye. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the people that got saved, the people that got set free, including me, that we're not the judge, you are. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, sir, for blessing this church. And I just pray that everybody comes back tonight at 5 to support this band, and that we support what we're going to sing about, the birth of Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And then Tuesday Bible study, sir, and next, whenever we do everything else, God, thank you for being here. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.